Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and illusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And, well, right now, of course, we have on the line Alan Stang. And we're going to be talking about an article he's written on population control. And, you know, it's very, very difficult for the average individual to believe that there really are people out there who have no human compassion, who think nothing wrong with killing off tens or hundreds of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of people. In fact, they think that there are just too many people in the world and we're using up their natural resources and they have to eliminate people. The major thrust of American foreign policy since 1974, when the government published the National Security Study Memorandum 200, is population control, not only throughout the world, but right here in the United States. If you've never read it, it's up on the Internet, but you can buy it from Radio Liberty, all bound and nicely, and you need to get it, you need to read it, you need to understand the mentality of these people. Well, with us on the line is our good friend Alan Stang, who's done talk radio for, well, in the past, although he gets on other people's programs. He writes books. I've known Alan, indirectly probably for the better part of 40 years. He's a great patriot. He loves America. And he's dedicated his life to trying to get the American people to think. Alan Stang, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Stang. Always a delight to be with you.
So, well, certainly your article in the World Net Daily,
well, it's on my site, stangbooks.com.
Right?
That's where it appears first, and then it also will appear on etherzone.com, and then, of course, on many other sites. Most of the sites my articles appear on, Dr. Stan, I don't know,
right,
because people just reprint them. I have no idea where they are.
I thought I saw it on the News with Views, but either that...
Well, it could be. It could be on News with Views.
Anyway, you go ahead and pick up this story. How did it happen that you wrote about this, and, you know, it's so difficult for people to believe that this could be true?
It is difficult, and I think the reason that it's difficult is that it's so unbelievable, it's so beyond the ken of normal human experience, that most people can't relate it to anything. So, for example, Dr. Stan, if you were to hear that somebody has been convicted of embezzlement, or somebody was discovered cheating on his wife... Well, maybe it's something you wouldn't do, but at least you can understand it. You understand human weakness. We're all sinners, and so people do these things. You could understand that. Your listeners could understand that. But when you hear that there is somebody out there who wants to exterminate a couple of billion, not million, but billion people, this is, again, it's so beyond normalcy that people's minds rebel. But we know that there are such people. If there were more than a few such people on the earth, civilized society could not exist. I mean, consider, suppose you had a lot of people like Hitler or Stalin or Mao Zedong. If you had many such people, you couldn't have a civilization. You'd have ravening wild dogs biting each other's throats out. Thank God, there are only a few of such people at any one time, but even those few can do the damage, commit the horrors that people like Hitler and Mao Zedong and Castro have committed. So
hold that thought, Alan. We'll be back in just a moment. And the trouble is, there really are people out there who have no human compassion and no concern for human life. We'll be right back.
The statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Could you be the next high-tech millionaire? The inventor of Caller ID, the digital answering machine, and picture-in-picture has taken his newest, unique, cutting-edge inventions and removed them from corporate America and is looking for people like you to market these products. Paul Zane Pilzer, the author of the book The Next Millionaires, who predicted the dot-com and the boom of the wellness industry, has now said there will be 10 million millionaires created between 2006 and 2016 in the technology industry. Those that work from home distributing technology products will have the first shot at success. This company has a successful 23-year track record and needs people like you who want to earn a considerable extra sum of money each month. Check out our solid, reputable company and learn how you can tap into this trillion-dollar industry. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call today, 682-518-0096. That's 682-518-0096. Or visit the website 2006breakthrough.com. Again, that's 2006breakthrough.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Alan Stang, and Alan is talking about population control. Alan, pick the story up.
To give you, again, to set the stage a little more, Dr. Stan, to give you just one example of what we're talking about, take the case of a man who is a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. He was a frequent visitor to the White House. He's honored all over the world. This is a man who died recently, a couple of years ago, and top statesmen from around the world went to his funeral. His name was Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat, in one of his expeditions in a town called Damour is a town in Lebanon, in 1976, Arafat and his men killed whole families, including pregnant mothers and their children. His thugs gouged out these children's eyes, cut off their arms and legs, and because many of the victims had been dismembered, the Red Cross had to count heads to total the dead. They cut off the genitals of three of the men, stuffed them in their mouths. In fact, Arafat and his PLO committed massacres, rape, mutilation, looting across Lebanon. Now, some people may be thinking, well, yes, it's inexcusable, but the reason he did it was these people he killed were Jews. No, they were not Jews. They were Christians in Lebanon. They had nothing to do with the Arab-Israeli conflict. They did not live on ground that Arafat claimed. The only reason he killed them was that they were there and they were defenseless and they could be plundered and raped with impunity. Now, this is the kind of a psychopath that we are talking about. To pick the story up, Dr. Stan, remember that that Gorbachev, Mike Gorbachev, the Soviet dictator, the head of the KGB, leaves the Soviet Union. He and his colleagues say that communism has collapsed. The only reason we're supposed to believe that communism in Russia has collapsed, in the Soviet Union has collapsed, is that Gorbachev and his cronies, his collaborators say it has collapsed. We have no evidence other than that. He then is brought to the United States and installed at the head of a tax-exempt foundation in the Presidio, the prestigious U.S. Army base in San Francisco. Now, right there, stop and think, Dr. Stan. Wouldn't something like that be an incident calculated to arouse a firestorm of comment and investigation in the U.S. media? I mean, think of it. Here you've got a man who is a totalitarian dictator responsible for who knows how many murders. He's the head of the Soviet secret police, and almost the next day, he's in San Francisco running a tax-exempt foundation. How does that happen? Now, the foundation he runs, of course, is the Gorbachev Foundation, named for him. They run regular State of the World forums, they call it, State of the World. Now, to give you an idea of who attends these State of the World forums, one example would be Ted Turner, for example, a Canadian billionaire, multi-billionaire Maurice Strong. Bill Gates, Microsoft, has attended these forums. Zbigniew Brzezinski of the Trilateral Commission. President Bush, Bush 41, is an attendee at these State of the World forums run by Mike Gorbachev. Would you think that a crowd like the people I've named could exert any influence at all? Now, what do they do at these State of the World forums? One of the things they do, of course, they meet in general to plan what is going to be done to us in the world. That's why they call it State of the World forums. One of the things that they meet to do is to discuss the elimination of a huge percentage of the Earth's population, because these people are among the powers that would like to be, who say that there are too many people for them to control easily on the planet, and so we have to get rid of a bunch of people. Now, what are they talking about? They argue about the percentage that needs to be eliminated. Some people say we've got to eliminate 90% of the Earth's population. For example, at one of these State of the World conferences, one of the professors who spoke said exactly that. He said, well, we've got to eliminate 90% of the Earth's population.
That was Professor Sam Keane.
Dr. Sam Keane,
right.
Known as a philosopher professor, at the closing plenary session, he said, quote, the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90%, and there aren't enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage, end quote, he says.
And, of course, I have a friend who was at that meeting, and he got a standing ovation for making that statement. I mean, can you imagine anybody getting an ovation for making that statement?
Well, okay. You know, you remind me, Dr. Stan, recently a professor whose name is, well, his first name is Noel. I can't remember his last name. He's a professor at Harvard, I think.
No, they're talking about the fellow in Texas.
In Texas, that's right.
Right.
I can't recall his last name. He's a professor.
Right.
He called in a public meeting for the abolition of the white race, he said.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the fellow in Texas who wanted to get rid of 90% of the population. That's within the last year.
Yes.
But there may be another one that...
reminded me of, in the fact that when he proposed the abolition of the white race, the audience, almost all of whom were white, stood and gave him a standing ovation. again, it's the kind of thing when you hear it, you say, what? What did he say? You can't believe this. Now, at that conference that I'm citing for you, The moderate is a lady named Barbara Marx Hubbard. She's the co-author of a book called The Book of Co-Creation. She says that only 25% of the Earth's population should be eliminated. She says out of the full spectrum of human personality, one-fourth is electing to transcend, one-fourth is destructive. In the past, they were permitted to die a natural death. Now, the destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. Now, when you talk about eliminating 25% of the Earth's population, what are you talking about? They tell us that we've got about 5 billion human beings now. Well, if you eliminate a quarter of them, that's 1,250,000, 250 million people. How do you eliminate 1,250,000,000 people, Dr. Stan?
With great difficulty.
Remember, Hitler was in power only 12 years. He's running the Holocaust. He's killing other people. We're told he killed 12 to 15 million people. All right. Mao Zedong in power much longer than Hitler, we are told by Professor Richard Walker at the University of South Carolina in a study he did. He says that by the late 60s, Mao Zedong and his communists in communist-occupied China was able to eliminate about 40 to 60 million people. Now, that was in the 60s, 40 years ago. Today, experts tell us that the communists in China have eliminated about 100 million people. Well, even at 100 million people, you're talking about a number that is inconsequential when you compare it to the numbers that these people in San Francisco want to eliminate.
Sure.
How would you do that? Obviously, you'd have to think of some new technique other than the gas ovens, the shooting people in the back of the neck. We've all seen those photographs from communist-occupied China. You couldn't do it that way if you worked around the clock.
Well, of course, Bertrand Russell, in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, on page 103, has a wonderful suggestion. He says war really isn't effective. What we need is a black plague to sweep the earth every generation, and then people would have as many children as we want and as they want, and nobody would have to worry about just a black plague having it sweep the earth.
Well, this is what I am getting at. In my opinion, just looking at this from every point of view, Dr. Stan, in my opinion, the only way these people could do this would be through some medical means, through some kind of a manufactured epidemic, maybe a black plague, but something that would come out of a laboratory full blown and would eliminate hundreds of millions of people, because that is what these people want. Now, the reason I think that they would do this is it's the only feasible way to get something like this done. Think about that. Now, to get into this a little further, after the article came out, Dr. Stan, I got some messages from people. Here's a message I got from a guy named Fred. Fred says, "Dear Alan, depopulation will be accomplished via the introduction of MDR, cultured and genetically engineered human pathogens. No nation, group, or person will be able to be held responsible." Yes, they are right. Mankind has become the cancer of the world. A decent world, rich and abundant with everything man needs on a sustainable basis, requires culling of the human species. 90% reduction would be a reasonable goal. Large swaths of the earth must be left fallow for eons of undisturbed natural development. This is not a joke. This is what the man writes me, quite seriously. Well, naturally, Dr. Stan, I wrote him back and I said, "Dear Fred, I assume that you will do the moral thing and volunteer to eliminate yourself, to go first." He writes back, "Hi, Alan. You know what they say about the word assume?" He says, "No, I hope to die in my sleep at age 120. As always, the least among us will suffer the most. Do I feel guilty about that? No. I want to live in a beautiful world, a peaceful world that seems to mean a world with way less people. While truthfulness and otherwise ethical behavior are in my character, mindless morality," this is important, "mindless morality with its Judeo-religious connotations is not. Listen up, or God might zap your head with a..."
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Alan Stang. And Alan is repeating what somebody said in my email, one of these people who really does come from this alternative point of view, who really believes we'd be better off killing off most of the world's population. You know, people often wonder how we could have had the Holocaust, how we could have had the people in Germany who engaged in these macabre and horrible scientific experiments that simply tortured people and killed them. Well, believe me, they existed in Hitler's Germany, and we brought many of those scientists over here under Operation Paperclip and helped about 10,000 Nazis escape to South America. And this was done by our military and by our Central Intelligence Agency, because there is within those organizations the same spiritual force that was in Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, There really are evil and wicked people out there in the world, and unfortunately, some of them are in the highest positions of our nation today, including Henry Kissinger, who signed the National Security Study Memorandum back in 1974 that was actually classified for such a long period of time because they thought Americans really wouldn't understand. You know, the elites plan to eliminate most of the population of the Earth. Go ahead, Alan, pick the story up.
Well, as I've been saying, Dr. Stan, the best way to do that would be through medical means, because one of the benefits you would derive if you were the people running this mass murder campaign would be your victims wouldn't even know you were attacking them. And now notice, Dr. Stan, that we're beginning to get these breakdowns in public health. We used to be able to boast in our country about the wonderful development of public health that has eliminated so many diseases in our country. So unlike other countries, we eliminated malaria here, we've eliminated leprosy, we've eliminated tuberculosis. Now we can't say that anymore, can we? We see these killer diseases returning. We see that, that there's a version of tuberculosis returning that is quite different from the original version that our doctors were able to eliminate. This new version, we're told, is immune from the strongest antibiotics we have. The doctors aren't quite sure what to do with it. We're having constant breakdowns. The Taco Bell incident recently, and now just before we went on the air, I heard about an outbreak at the Olive Garden in Indianapolis where many, many people are ill. Now, of course, the Olive Garden is a nice restaurant. It's not a fast food chain. It's a very nice national chain of restaurants. You've got a problem there in Indianapolis. Of course, a lot of this can be attributed to the illegal alien invasion being conducted by Presidente Jorge W. Bush. Certainly that's part of the explanation, but is it the entire explanation? So it seems to me realistic to speculate, Dr. Stan, about the possibility that this is being done deliberately. If you put together the people who say they want to eliminate such a huge percentage of the Earth's population, you put that together with what is happening, and you know that these people have the power to do what they say they want to do, I think it's realistic here to speculate, to ask the question, are these strange developments, is the breakdown of our public health maybe a part of this scheme to eliminate a big chunk of the Earth's population?
Well, it's a very, very legitimate question. Of course, my feeling is that they're focusing our attention on this for some specific diabolical purpose. I mean, we've never seen anything quite like the spinach conspiracy, the green onion conspiracy, and now the the Olive Garden conspiracy. As they begin to focus our attention on these things, they're up to no good, Alan. And certainly, they keep talking about the bird flu. We're just going to have to fight the bird flu influenza when it strikes America, and with a new vaccine that's going to save our lives, and I wouldn't trust it one bit.
Dr. Stan, this is it's kind of an annual charade, an annual play. That, isn't it? Every year we hear about this year's version of the flu, that they found a dead bird or some other dead creature, and that creature contains a version of the flu or some other disease, and if the federal government over here, thousands of miles away, does not immediately appropriate X numbers of scores of billions of dollars and give that appropriation to the big pharmaceutical companies, if we don't do that, in 6 months, half the population of the United States will be dead. I mean, this is almost an annual event, isn't it?
You're absolutely right, and Chris, the flu vaccine really doesn't do that much good. It does a great deal of harm. It increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease dramatically because of the thimerosal in there. We'll be right back.
MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Send your your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big-box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22 ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Improve your home's comfort and beauty. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance and may also help reduce your energy costs. Call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. Offer ends 12/30/06. Subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. Improving your home has never been easier. Call Sears at 1-800-393-8378.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
This Communication Network, our guest today is Alan Stang. And Alan, before we go on, I want you to get your website out and tell people how they can get in touch with you, your organization, and get those great books you've written.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Stan. My website, ladies and gentlemen, is simply stangbooks.com. That's S as in Sierra, T Tango, A-N-G, stangbooks.com. If you go there, you'll see the articles that I write, including the one that Dr. Stan and I are talking about this evening. You'll see all the books that I've written. You'll see just about everything I'm doing. If you prefer to give me a toll-free call, you could call 888-277-7607, extension 2551. That number again, toll-free, 888-277-7607, extension 2551. So you could either call me, or if you prefer to go online and take a look, why, you could go to stangbooks.com, or you could go to alanstang.com, either one, and you'll get to my sites.
Alan, is that quotation from the gentleman you emailed back and forth to, is that on that article?
No, that is, those messages, Dr. Stan, I received after the article came out. This is from somebody who read the article.
I would love to get a copy of those emails if I could, because I think it really epitomizes how some people think, and I think it's so difficult to believe that there really are people who are so callous and indifferent. But what frightens me is there's probably a lot more of them out.
A lot more, we suspect.
And a lot of them are college graduates, you know. They wear nice suits and white ties, and they can smile, and they have all the social etiquette. But, of course, they've lost their faith and belief in God during their years of indoctrination.
This is the key to it, Dr. Stan.
Hey, pardon?
This is the key to it.
Right.
In school, from earliest childhood, starting before kindergarten, they are trained to be totally amoral atheists, totally amoral individuals, and some of them, at least, will grow up to be psychopaths because they no longer have the foundation that makes a civilized human being, a humane human being, a gentleman. After all, what is a gentleman? A gentleman is a gentle man. How do you learn to do that? Where does it come from? It comes from these historic spiritual foundations that always have been the basis of our civilization, that the conspirators have deliberately been trying for decades to suppress and to destroy. And that's why so many of these things are happening. That explains this unbelievable campaign against Christmas, if you can believe it.
So, and I think you're absolutely right. And
tell me your email address, Dr. Stan. I will email you this man's comments.
It's Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R, Stan Radio at AOL.com. That's Dr. Stan Radio at AOL.com.
Okay.
And I want everybody else there in the audience to forget about it, but now go right ahead. I just got through about 80 to 90 emails today. Wiped out my morning, but we try to read all of them and answer as many as we can.
Yes, I do the same. I get a ton of emails every day, and many of them tell me, congratulations, you've won the lottery, or you have been chosen to participate in this investment. But I do spend a lot of time answering the legitimate emails. I will forward this one to you so that you could use it. This is from somebody who read the article we're talking about. And these are his comments. When you first read them, you think this must be a gag, but you realize, this man is completely serious in what he's saying.
Well, we have a number of those quotations. We certainly have the quotation from Jacques Cousteau, where he called, anybody would like to see that, we have copies of the UNESCO Courier, November 1991, where he actually says that, you know, it's necessary to eliminate 365,000 people a day. We have to eliminate 365,000 people a day to bring the world back into balance. And, you know, he makes Adolf Hitler look like a piker, and yet, when was the last time you ever heard anybody criticize Jacques Cousteau?
Yes, Jacques-Yves Cousteau. Right. Oh, my, impossible, mon ami, impossible. Well, here's what he also said, Dr. Stan, in that article in the 1991 UNESCO Courier, quotes him as saying, quote, one American burdens the earth much more than 20 Bangladesh. So he's saying that we are 20 times as bad, as dangerous to the earth as the people of Bangladesh. Well, doesn't that tell you that if we were crazy enough to let Cousteau run the show, he would start his elimination of 365,000 people a day here in the United States, and he would start in Cincinnati, not in Bangladesh, because we're 20 times as bad as those people.
You're absolutely right, and I really fear, you know, Alan, that we're going to see God's judgment on America, and I think we're going to see terrible, terrible things happen here, and I don't think the average person has any grasp of what lies coming within this next year or two.
Well, Dr. Stan, I wish I didn't believe this, and I struggle all the time to find some reason not to believe it. And so I certainly sympathize with the people who are deliberately oblivious, but I can't disagree with you.
Well, I think I would suggest for any of our listeners who would like more documentation, you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and I've written something called the Population Control Agenda Monograph, which is well documented. Every word in it is true. And you can pull it down and make copies of it, or even request one. We'll be glad to send it to you. The Population Control Agenda Monograph. It needs to be updated. It was written 5 or 6 years ago, but it's still as good as anything we have out there, other than, of course, Alan's new article, which I think is fascinating. So you pick up the story there, Alan.
Well, I think it deserves to be mentioned, Dr. Stan, that it's a paradox. While the people in the government, in the ecological organizations and so on, they're talking about cleaning up, we've got to clean up the environment and so on, the save species people protecting the different species from being eliminated, while they are continuing to make the noise they've made for years, our environment is getting more and more toxic all the time. But these people who are talking about saving the environment don't talk about the real threat to the environment. They will talk about the gnatcatcher or the fairy shrimp in California that you find in vernal pools that very few people have ever even seen. That's what they're protecting. But they will take no action with regard to the intensifying toxification of our environment. Now, for just one example, Dr. Stan, recently, well, it was in August. It was in August, four months ago or so, the FDA approved the spraying of live viruses on our food. Now, this comes out of a company called Intralytix, which is located in Baltimore. FDA approved this. Now, you're probably thinking, ladies and gentlemen, well, yes, okay, FDA approved the spraying of live viruses for some reason, but obviously something like this must have been tested for years, tested every which way. It has not been tested at all, ladies and gentlemen. No testing whatsoever. Intralytix told FDA it would be safe, and FDA agrees. Now, you may figure, okay, it hasn't been tested, but I will read my labels even more carefully and I will avoid it by reading the label. You won't be able to do that. It won't be on the label. The label's not going to tell you that the food was sprayed with live viruses. Now, they're starting off with luncheon meat, processed luncheon meat. Now, I'm sure that nobody who is smart enough to listen to Dr. Stan is going to be eating processed luncheon meat. So you're all right there, but they're also going to start, they tell us, spraying live viruses on chicken. Does anybody out there eat chicken? I know I do. Well, they're going to be spraying live viruses on the chicken, and you won't know about it. Now, that's just one example.
Well, I think it's important why people understand why they're doing it. They're doing it to keep it from getting discolored. You know, because, of course, you know, when the bacteria grow and other things happen, why they get discolored, and then you can't sell them. See, if the live viruses on there, they last a lot longer. But what do those live viruses do to you? And what is the possibility that you would get those viruses inside you and then they would mutate? And why would you want to increase your viral load? Doesn't make any sense. Unless maybe there's another agenda.
Unless maybe there's another agenda. You know, you remind me, Dr. Stan, I've given you an example or two of the mentality that is doing this. Let me give you an example that I recall personally. Of the kind of person we are trying to influence, but whom we have not been able to reach. I worked with a man some years ago who was one of the finest human beings I've ever met. I mean, a very high quality individual, a very moral individual, in every respect, an outstanding leader. And sometimes in the course of our discussions, we were working at financial planning together. But sometimes in the course of our financial planning for people, somehow one of these subjects would come up. I would never bring them up myself during the business day, but he would ask me. He would make the mistake in the conversation of asking me something about it. And I would answer his question. I wouldn't force anything on him, but I would answer his question. Well, several times when I started to do that, this individual would literally cover his ears with his hands. He would grimace, a real grimace on his face. He would cover his ears with his hands so that he couldn't hear what I was saying. Now, why would he do that? Because this man is so moral a man, so honest, such a leader in every respect, everything that he would do. He would honestly, he wouldn't just naturally be the leader of it. He would was covering his ears because if he heard what I was saying, and if he thought that what I was saying made any sense, which he probably would because we're working together, obviously he respects my judgment. If he thought it made any sense, then because of what he was, he would have to do something about it, you see. So his solution was he would cover his ears with his hands, wouldn't hear what I was saying. Well, then he's under no, he's not required. There's no compulsion. He's not compelled to go out and take action. He hasn't heard what I've said. And he would just, he would do that until he saw that I'd stopped talking. Then he thought it would be safe to come out. So he would put his hands down. Now, my thought, Dr. Stan, is if this gentleman is doing that, there probably are a lot of people out there like that, men, women, out there of his caliber who are doing that, who will not tune into you because they're afraid. If they listen enough to you, why, they will turn around. Does that make any sense to you? Have you run into anything like
that?
Yes,
I certainly have. And there's a lot of people who just don't want to accept the truth. It's like, well, you know, when I was a physician in practicing, and people didn't want to hear that they had a cancer. They just didn't want to hear it. And when you told them they had a cancer, and in all probability they were going to die, they would reject that. And then they become very angry, and they, you know, become quite irrational, you know, as if somehow I was responsible because they had a cancer. But this is the most normal sort of reaction that you would find in people.
Yes.
And the same thing would hold true if somebody had had a spinal cord injury and they were never going to be able to walk again. They were running one day, and the next day they were paralyzed. And,
yes.
And you got to tell them it's not going to get better. And that denial, that self-denial. But this is human nature.
It's human nature. But you know, on the other side of this, Dr. Stan, here is one of the things that inspires me so much. I'm thinking now of a lady who called me when I was doing a talk show at the American Freedom Network. She said, you know, when you first came on the air and I started to listen, she said, I thought, this man is totally crazy. She said, this man is, he's really a nut. Now, it's about 6 months later, she calls back in. She says, I thought when I first listened to you that you were crazy. And she says, now I'm crazy.
And that's right. I've had exactly the same experience. And this one woman said to me, and she said, you know, and now I go around trying to tell people what's going on, and they think I'm crazy.
Yes.
And, you know, but we are reaching people, and you've reached so many people, and hopefully I've reached a few people. And our job is to change people's lives. And, of course, in the process, hopefully to bring them to the Lord, because this is what brought me to the Lord. It was really a total transformation of myself. I had to reevaluate what was really important, and it was that realization that made me begin looking for a spiritual solution, and that was why I became a born-again Christian. And I do hope that many of the people who listen to our programs will have a similar experience, recognizing there's evil. If there's evil, there must be a God, and if there's a God, then how do you find him? And you do that by getting down on your knees and asking to come in and take over your life, and your life changes forever. And then you know, of course, that this is not imaginary. It is very real. So I do what I do because I'm hoping to change lives. And I hope that at least some of what we say, a few people out there will understand, will believe, and will have a life-changing experience.
Well, you don't need a lot of people, Dr. Stan. I mean, at the beginning, remember that Jesus just had a handful of apostles, and that was the whole thing. You never have had a lot of people. You don't need a lot of people. When we were involved in the war for independence, certainly not all the people in the American colonies at the time were participants. Most of them were either Tories supporting the British, or they stood on the sidelines, waited on the sidelines to see who would win. You had a small minority of people who were fighting for independence. So always, I mean, you have a small group of people. So that doesn't influence my thinking at all. Because again, I'm aware that whatever is done, one way or another, for good or for bad, is always done by a small group of people.
Well, I think that, of course, what was it? Andrew Jackson said, "One man with courage is a majority."
Yes.
I believe, of course, that this is a spiritual battle, and I just hope that we're on God's side. Because we're not going to win the battle. I believe it's God's battle. We're called to do our best and hope that He'll bless our efforts.
Well, that's what we hope. That's what we hope. We're occupying. That's what we're told to do. Occupy, and as far as I can tell, that's what I'm doing, and I'm sure that's what you're doing too, Dr. Stan.
Well, it's good to know that you're out there, Alan, and you've been there for a long time, and as I have as well. And there's just a small group of people, but there's a growing number of people. And I've run into people who said, I've only found out what was going on, you know, 6 years ago or six months ago.
It's hard for me to understand that, yes, having been in this for so many decades. You're so right, but when somebody says, I just found out about this, I have to look at them twice after, as you said, Dr. Stan, doing this for so long.
We're out of time, Alan. I'm looking forward. I'm going to call you, Nicole. We'll get you onto our evening program, and I want to have my evening audience hear your story as well. So until then, you know, may the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Stan. Bye.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Let me suggest that if you would like to know more about this diabolical plan, why you need to, of course, get my 4-tape set on population control. You need to get the population control special. It's got about $125 worth of material in it, and it's only $69.95. You get certainly our video on population control. We have a great talk, which is separate. It's called Plan Population Reduction, the talk I gave for the Prophecy Club. You need to understand that there really are people out there who intend to kill off most of the world's population. We actually have one four-tape set, which you could even substitute for one of them in the population control agenda, a population control special, if you want, called The New Order of the Barbarians, an interview with Dr. Dennegan, who back in 1969 had heard Dr. Richard Day, who is the medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking about the master plan to create new diseases, to withhold treatments for cancer, to overpay sports figures so that people would be fixed on sports, and these guys getting $50 million for playing, you know, baseball for a year, or certainly making the Japanese cars so much better than the American cars. Remember, this was 1969. That's the New Order of the Barbarians. You can get it separate or part of the Population Control Agenda monograph if you specifically asked to substitute it. Understand that these people know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they intend to kill off a large part of the world's population. You can get, of course, the National Security Study Memorandum 200 through Radio Liberty. It's bound. You can get the Dr. MacArthur's complete testimony before the House Appropriations Committee in 69, just 2 months after Dr. Day talked to those doctors up in Pennsylvania, where he talks about, you know, giving us $10 million so we can create a disease for a new form of mass killing. You'll read his actual text of his testimony. Understand, these things are not imaginary, they're real. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I hope many of you out there are making serious consideration to get some extra food in, some long-term storage food, foods, dried food. We actually have an arrangement with ready-made foods, ready-reserve foods, and you can buy them through us, and if you get them through us, we will actually, for every $200 of your purchase, of goods, we'll give you a video that we've actually produced, or a video, anything we've produced, you can have one of them with every $200 that you invest that way, so you're getting about 10% off on your investment, but you need to start laying in a food supply. You can, if you want more information, we'd be glad to send you a food catalog, but get this material and start preparing. Lay in a good supply of the vitamins and things like you're going to need to keep your health up. Whether it'll be a created epidemic, and believe me, they are working on terrible new diseases back at Fort Detrick, and if you doubt that, we'll send you the article out of the Washington Post that tells about these horrible diseases for mass killing. Of course, their excuse for making them in violation of all the treaties we've signed is, well, Osama bin Laden might be working on them, and so we have to create these defensive new massive new diseases for mass killing. But they're only defensive. It's only defensive. Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, or Megiddo 1 or Megiddo 2 or The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. There's so much more that we have here at Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a free copy of a newsletter. If you'd like a free copy, a free catalog, we'll be glad to get that to you. But give serious thought to getting the food and the other medical supplies that you need in. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. If you're listening on the shortwave, as of the 13th of January, we're changing for our afternoon program to 9.480. That's 9.480. For our evening program, shortwave, that'll be 5755, 5.755. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.
Purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, well, the views of our guest. And this afternoon, our special guest is Jerry Smith. But right now I want to read you a quotation from William S. Cohen, who was the Secretary of Defense of our country in 1997, and this is what he said. There are some reports, for example, that some countries have been trying to construct something like an Ebola virus that would be a very dangerous phenomenon, to say the least. Alvin Toffler has written about this in terms of some scientists in their laboratories trying to devise certain types of pathogens that would be ethnic-specific so that they could just eliminate certain ethnic groups and races. And others are designing some sort of engineering, some sorts of insects that can destroy specific crops. Others are engaged even in an eco type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there. They're at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real. And that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts. That was William S. Cohen, Secretary of Defense in 1997. Well, we're going to be talking about Jerry Smith's new book, Weather Warfare, The Military Plan to Draft Mother Nature. And Jerry's done a great job of writing this book. It's got a lot of great information into it. It goes into what we know for sure about chemtrails, what we know about HAARP, what we know about some of these macabre plans of these macabre men who actually have an entirely different worldview, who see nothing wrong with creating horrible new diseases and weapons that can be used to exterminate literally millions of people. With that as a background, Jerry, thank you very much for being with us again.
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you again.
All right, fine. Well, let's get in the background. What motivated you to write this book?
Well, I wrote an earlier book, HAARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And as soon as that book came out, my publisher was anxious for a follow-up book. And I spent the next 7 years in researching and 2 years writing this book as a follow-up to HAARP. And, you know, HAARP is the High-Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. It is an electromagnetic weapon system that disguised as a civilian research installation. And I realized that this was a key to understanding the military and politics in the 21st century.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about HAARP. What is HAARP? Why should we be concerned about it? And why is it so secret? I mean, why are they trying to keep the information from the American people?
Well, HAARP is the world's largest radio broadcasting station, but it's not designed to broadcast for human ears. It is a field of antennas on the ground in southeastern Alaska that are so put together as to work as one giant antenna to inject 3.6 million watts of radio frequency energy into a spot at the top of the atmosphere. This allows them to modify the atmosphere, to induce states and control those states.
All right, fine. But, of course, can this be used as an anti-ballistic missile system? Can it be used to alter the jet stream? Can it be used to affect the human mind? And when we get back here, we're going to address all of those issues. Our special guest this afternoon, then, is Jerry E. Smith, his book, Weather Warfare, The Military Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Jerry Smith, and we've had Jerry as a guest on before with his story of the Spear of Longinus, the spear that theoretically or supposedly has mystical powers because it pierced the side of the body of our Lord. And, of course, it's a fascinating story, but today we're going to be talking about his latest book on weather warfare. And Jerry was just telling us a little bit about this HAARP project. It is up in Alaska. It is certainly has the capacity to beam this tremendously large amount of electromagnetic energy up into the stratosphere and even into the ionosphere. And Jerry, how could this be used as a weapon today?
Well, the it goes back to the original patents, which oddly enough the program denies, which has left them open to claims of conspiracy and cover-up. The original patents were granted in the 1980s. The HAARP project began in the early 1990s. It grew out of Star Wars. The idea was how do you stop incoming ICBMs? That was what Star Wars, SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, was all about. The concept for HAARP was if you inject a tremendous amount of radio frequency energy into a spot at the very top of the atmosphere, this will literally blow the molecules apart. That this heats these molecules by several thousand degrees. This heating blows them apart and turns them into what is called a plasma, an electrically charged gas that, because of induction, goes out into space. And it keeps going out until it hits the Earth's magnetic field. The lines of force with the magnetic field will trap these particles. And they will get trapped between the lines of magnetic force and spread out as a shield over the area where the energy is being injected into. This charged gas, being electrically charged, will affect the electronics of anything coming through it. So if there were incoming ICBMs or passing spy satellites, they would be damaged or destroyed by it. This is where it started, and this is a very adaptable device. This can be used for a lot of different things. In fact, I list more than 40 different things that this thing could be used for. And one of the things it could be used for is over-the-horizon radar. And at the time that the project was started, there was an over-the-horizon radar site that they couldn't get to work. The OTHB wasn't working.
Hold that thought there, Jerry. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about what is the function of this high-frequency auroral research project, so-called HAARP. And, of course, the whole idea is that it has a multitude of uses, but they don't want Osama bin Laden living in the cave to find out about it, and so it's all highly secret. One of the things, of course, it can do, supposedly, it can actually be an over-the-horizon radar system. But, of course, what really concerns me more is that this is a means of actually modifying the weather, isn't it, Jerry?
Well, yes. The point I was making with it being an over-the-horizon radar is that we were signatories to the ABM Treaty, and the ABM Treaty laid out very technical points on what you can and cannot do with an over-the-horizon radar. And one of the things you cannot do is have it steerable. And HAARP is steerable. HAARP can be steered across 30% of the sky, so it would have been a violation of the ABM Treaty, which we were signatories to at the time. And so I believe that the reason why HAARP, you say it's secret, it's not really secret, it's simply they have found various ways to not tell us everything.
Well, isn't that a means of keeping a secret, is to deceive the people?
Oh, absolutely. So they didn't want to be an obvious violation of the ABM treaty, so they claim that HAARP is civilian science. And as long as HAARP is civilian science, then it's not military science, so it's not a violation of the ABM treaty.
Well, you know, Jerry, one of the things, you wonder how dumb they think the American people are. The Russians have several thousand warheads, nuclear-armed warheads, that are targeted on America. And, of course, when we did away with the anti-ballistic missile system, George Bush put in six anti-ballistic missiles, or six anti-ballistic missiles up there in up in Alaska, and I understand now they deployed a few more, but they really don't work very well because it's hitting a bullet for the bullet, and they're supposed to think they were really doing something. Now, say what you will about the people in Washington, D.C., they are not stupid.
Oh, definitely not.
And, of course, what they're doing is trying to confuse the American people to think that, oh, our defense rests on those anti-ballistic missiles, the six anti-ballistic missles that are aligned against, and maybe even up to 20 now, they're aligned against several thousand potential missiles coming in from Russia and maybe 100 or two coming in from China. And my intelligence tells me they have other secret weapons they're just not telling us about, and I don't think they want the enemy of the Russians and the Chinese, that are still communist nations, to know about. So you pick up the story. How could this then be used to as an anti-ballistic missile system, a steerable anti-ballistic missile system?
Well, again, there are, as I said, there are many things that HAARP could be used for, and I think you're right that it is. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on. There's a lot of they're telling us one thing and doing something else. And they have admitted to quite a few of the things they're doing, and virtually everything they've admitted to is really scary. Whoa, that's not right, kind of stuff. So, I'm not really sure where the top of this pyramid is located, and I'm not really sure to what end this thing is designed to accomplish. It seems to have been an outgrowth of Star Wars. And then it accrued a number of things. What I do know is that HAARP definitely is about modifying the atmosphere. It's about changing atmospheric conditions so as to make the atmosphere do things. And this project is a project operated by the Department of Defense. So it's to do military things.
With weather. When you're talking about the atmosphere, you're really talking about the weather, aren't you?
Well, where does the weather live? The weather lives in the atmosphere. You
right.
change the atmosphere and you change the weather. Now, the U.S. Air Force is constantly saying, we do not want to control the weather. But they have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in modifying the atmosphere.
And can't they actually, with this, actually change the jet stream by actually causing, by heating the ionosphere? Then it will rise, and then, of course, it alters the whole thrust of the jet stream.
I believe that is true. It's not in the paperwork. You won't find any of the scientists associated with it saying anything about this. However, if you go back to the original patents openly discuss this, which is one of the reasons why the people on the project today say, oh, no, those patents aren't us. They're similar to us, but they're not us.
Well, of course, we know, and any of our listeners out there who would like to check on it, and Jerry quotes this in his book, that back in 1970, Zbigniew Brzezinski was writing about the ability to modify the weather, and one of the things he did was to quote in this footnote at one of the pages, we have the page, anybody would like to read it, how, you know, in the future, and he's a quoting man named McDonald, who Jerry does quote, a professor who talks about how in the future we're not only going to be able to create chronic diseases to disable and to defeat the people, but we'll be able to create storms and droughts. Now, that was 1970. That
exactly.
was 36 years ago. And believe me, of course, we've made a lot of scientific advances since then. If they could knew that they were going to be able to do it in 1970, you can be sure they can do it today, but they're not going to tell the American people. They're not going to tell us much of anything.
No, and you know, our ignorance is an incredible ocean. Today I read a survey done by the National Science Foundation, the NSF, conducted a survey in 2001 in which they found 20% of Americans think the sun revolves around the Earth. Now, if Americans are that ignorant of basic science, The Defense Department knows they can tell us practically anything, and a huge portion of the population will just go, yeah, okay, sure.
Well, I think we've got a real problem today. That we're certainly dumbing down our people. If you don't believe it, watch Jay Leno and his jaywalking. And a lot of people out there, high school graduates, who haven't any idea who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Exactly. For the last 10 years, there's 50% of graduating American high school students cannot find the United States on a map of the Earth.
Well, let's get on into some of the things that you actually point out in there in this weather warfare. Let's sort of go through the HAARP, because I think this is such a fascinating project. Yeah, and certainly it can be used for, it has the potential to be used to modify the weather. It has the potential to be used as an anti-ballistic missile system. But what can it do to the individual? Can it be used for instance, contacting submarines deep in the depths of the ocean?
Absolutely. That's the primary reason it was funded. Again, what it does is it injects a tremendous amount of radio frequency energy. And we're talking about 3.6 million watts, which is the largest legal AM radio station in the United States, is 50,000 watts. HAARP is 72,000 50,000 watt radio stations, all injecting their total output into a spot about 12 miles across by about 2.5 miles deep by about 90 miles up. And when you put that much energy in, you're basically microwaving the sky. You are raising the temperature by thousands of degrees. And one of the things it does is it blows the molecules apart. And when the molecules are blown apart, they give off a stream of ELF, extremely low-frequency radio waves, which penetrate deep into the earth and deep into the sea. And you can use those in a crude Morse code to communicate with deeply submerged submarines or underground bases or other subterranean assets. The reason, one of the things this project was funded to do was to use this to probe subsurface, to probe underground, to locate and monitor enemy bases for the manufacture and launch of weapons of mass destruction. Now, this is a very curious thing. The United States Senate told HAARP, that's what you got to do. You got to develop this earth-penetrating radar technology so that we can maintain and prove counter-proliferation, that we can stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction. And this is what HAARP was funded to do, and after 15 years of construction and operation, HAARP has never once done it, or at least if they have done it, they have not admitted to it. So, you know, one of the speculations is, are they thumbing their nose at the U.S. Senate, who is funding them? Or have they successfully done it and done it so well they don't want anybody to know how good they are at it?
Now, what could they do to the mind? Because, of course, you can beam these electromagnetic waves at the human being, and can't you alter the function of the mind, the brain waves?
Well, that's actually what got my attention about the project. You know, the first book on the subject was Angels Don't Play This HAARP by Nick Begich and Gene Manning. And when I read their book and read the scuttlebutt on the Internet, I went, oh, my gosh. Because I had been studying mind control technologies for 20 years before Angels came out, and I realized instantly that what I was reading here is that this thing is designed to bathe the Earth in radio frequencies that are known to affect the human mind, that the human brain is a radio transceiver, and it does respond to outside signals. And you can affect the brain. You can affect the mind with outside radio signals at the right frequency. And when I realized that that's exactly what HAARP was designed to do, my first thought was, well, if these guys have no clue what they're doing, if HAARP is exactly what it says it is, these guys could inadvertently, unknowingly, cause mental dysfunction across big pieces of the planet without having a clue they're doing it. And if they do know what they're doing, this could be literally the ultimate weapon, which is why my book is called HAARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy.
How much have they spent on this so far? Do we have any idea?
My best guess is around $300 million.
Oh, well, $300 million here, $300 million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, well, but for the DOD, $300 million is chump change.
Right. All right, fine. Now, do they have any other sites that we know? I think the Russians and some of the other countries.
Well, that's one of those yes and no, in that we do know that HAARP is an ionospheric heater, and we know there are about a dozen ionospheric heaters around the planet. But things like HAARP is based on patents, and HAARP is the only one who has the power to use those patents. So it seems like it's the only one.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here with Jerry Smith on, of course, weather warfare, the ultimate weapon. Well, Jerry, is there anything else we should talk about HARP, do you think?
I think we can roll on to other points. Basically, the book, Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, grew out of my previous book, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And so it has a big update on HARP and covers what we know about HARP up to present time. And indeed, it is the most exhaustive and thorough place anywhere on the net or in print that you can actually get the current skinny on what's going on there.
And I was really fascinated. You talk about how they can actually influence the snowpack in the Sierras.
Right. Now again, most Americans have no clue to what degree weather modification is a reality. Most people think everybody talks about the weather, nobody does anything about it. In fact, thousands of people are at this very moment changing the weather. Business Week magazine reported last year that in the Chinese government are spending $40 million a year and have 35,000 people employed full-time in weather management. Now, weather management includes such things as cloud seeding to get more moisture out of rainstorms so as to relieve drought conditions, clearing, dispersing fog from airports to maintain flight operations, suppressing hail, preventing hail from forming and destroying crops. Now, this is an off-the-shelf technology. It's also being practiced in the United States. You mentioned snowpack. Desert Research Institute of Nevada has fixed position cloud seeders on the peaks of the Sierra Nevadas. And whenever a storm comes over the Sierra Nevadas heading towards Nevada, they do all they can to steal as much moisture and get it onto the Sierra Nevadas as part of the snowpack, because that's where the water for the cities of Reno and Carson City and so forth comes from. Several ski resorts in Colorado do exactly the same thing. Dale hires cloud seeders throughout the winter season to keep their snowpack up.
Now, how do they do that? Do they do that with iodized capsules or crystals or what? How do they do that?
I'm not sure what technique Dale Mountain uses. DRI uses silver iodide.
All right, fine.
And that's the most common, but there are many different technologies available.
Well, is this actually seeded by planes, by spraying with planes, or what?
Again, there's lots of different technologies. The most common in the Midwest is to use airplanes that release either silver iodide or some variations on petroleum. There's dry ice. There's a number of things that are released. The basic concept is to create a particle that moisture will collect around, and then the moisture will form into a drop heavy enough to fall to Earth as rain.
All right, so this is something that's been going on, and this is not new. In fact, in your book, you described how this was being used during the Vietnam War 30 years ago, when they actually were able to create storms at that time. Would you like to pick that story up?
Oh, absolutely.
And in fact, you probably better, why don't you just wait just a moment, because we're going to bring all of our stations back on board, and I really want them to hear this story. I think it's so important people understand this is not Star Wars, this is real. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jerry's been talking about, off the air with us, about how actually they have the ability to seed clouds. They do this. They seed the Sierras, certainly during the wintertime, to build up the snowpack. They actually have techniques by which they can cut back on the incidence of hail, which destroys crops. And we were just beginning to talk about the technology was there during the Vietnam War, which would be over 30 years ago. And we're talking about how they were actually able to actually influence the rainstorms in Vietnam, because they wanted, of course, to actually keep constant rain on the Ho Chi Minh trails to turn it into a quagmire of mud, so that the trucks that were built in Russia, incidentally with our money, at the Kama River plant, would get trapped in the quagmire of mud coming down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. How did they do it, and who is it? Because this same man who was doing that 30 years ago is now working in a key corporation today, isn't he?
Absolutely. I forget his name offhand. He's been on Art Bell a few times. He's one of the lead scientists at an organization called Weather Modification Incorporated. They have a website. You can Google Weather Modification Inc. and find their website, and they're very proud of their being one of the cutting-edge civilian organizations on the planet, and they have ongoing operations on several continents at this point, including the Midwest. As I said, one of their lead scientists was one of the guys who were the lead scientists on Operation Popeye. Operation Popeye ran some 40,000 flights over Laos, Cambodia, North and South Vietnam, releasing cloud seeding materials. Now, cloud seeding was first developed in 1947. This is a technology that has been off the shelf and around for a very long time. The U.S. Military attempted to make, as you said, the Ho Chi Minh Trail impassable, and they ran this program for about 7 years. To this day, there's debate on whether they were successful with it or not. At the same time, they also were running a program of defoliating the jungle. They poured literally millions of gallons
of
Agent Orange and Agent White on the on the jungle.
And of course, a lot of that jungle has never come back again. The ground there won't grow anything. The children are deformed. There's an increase of cancer. And not only there, but among our own troops. And the government knows that, and they lied, and they've lied, and they've lied about it. We actually have the Veterans Administration records, and they're actually tracking the Agent Orange victims, but they're not going to tell the American people that they would poison our own soldiers.
Right. Now, and this was not to clear roads and paths and landing fields like they told us in the 6 o'clock news. This was the military determined that the jungle was home to the enemy, that the jungle provided sustenance and shelter to the enemy, and if the jungle were gone, the enemy would be gone. And so they attempted to wipe out the jungle. This is environmental warfare. That's what my book is all about. When this became apparent, when the word got out, when the United States Congress realized what was going on, the United States Senate began holding hearings, initiated mostly by Senator Claiborne Pell, a Democrat of Rhode Island. And what he discovered was not only that were they trying to muddy the Ho Chi Minh Trail, not only were they pouring Agent Orange and Agent White all over everything, but they were doing amazing, strange things. One of the things that the DOD was practicing with was whether or not they could thin out the ozone layer over the enemy so as to increase poisons, that increase cancers and leukemias of people on the ground by exposing them to solar radiation. Senator Pell freaked out. He succeeded in getting a number of other Congress critters to join him, and they nailed this down. They discovered what was going on. They went public with it, and that led to the creation of a United Nations treaty banning environmental warfare, banning the use of environmental modification technology for hostile, that is, military purposes. And so my book, Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, is a history of where we went from the development of this technology up to that treaty, and then the analysis of the treaty, which is an absolute failure.
Well, I think people have to understand that when the military goes to war, they're putting men's lives at risk, and they're going to win the war whatever it takes. They're not worried about environmental impact. They're not worried about laws. They are there to win a war. I mean, the purpose of war is to kill people and to destroy things. And so I can understand why the military leaders would want to use dioxin. And, of course, they're not concerned about what happens after the war. After all, if you lose the war, you don't have to worry about much of anything. The tragedy is, though, we did all the wrong things, and we still lost the war. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Jerry Smith, and we're talking about his book, Weather Warfare, the Military Plan to Draft Mother Nature. And this, of course, takes us to the next part of the book, which gets into chemtrails. What are chemtrails? What are contrails? What is happening to the sky, and how is that going to impact upon the people listening to our program today?
Well, what I discovered is that the contrail chemtrail debate is a key and hitherto unrecognized part of the global warming climate change debate. That right now there is this recognition that the Earth is getting hotter, and there are a number of theories as to why the Earth is getting hotter. The one we hear the most about is this greenhouse gases theory, that since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we've been producing gases such as carbon dioxide and methane, and that these work their way up to the top of the atmosphere into the stratosphere, and there they act like the panes of glass in a greenhouse, that they allow the sunlight to come in, but they don't allow the heat to get out, and they are trapping the heat in, and that's why the Earth is warming. This theory is far from proven. That while the mainstream media leads you to believe that this is it, it's all wrapped up, it's figured out, that's the problem, this is far from accepted as being the truth in scientific circles. And I give several of the other theories as to what's going on. But what NASA can show is that there is very good solid evidence that Earth is getting warmer. Why it's getting warmer is something else again. Now, one of the things that has just come up, scientists have just figured it out. We could have told them this a decade ago, but they wouldn't listen to us, is that the contrails caused by airplanes are a factor in this. And so what I do is I take the contrail versus chemtrail debate and I break it into two pieces, contrails and chemtrails. I thought that was a fairly logical way to do it. So first what I do is I talk about what is a contrail, a condensation trail, what causes it, under what conditions does it form, what are the ecological problems with it, how does this contribute to global warming and global dimming. This is a very serious issue. This is an issue that is absolutely fundamental to our survival as a species.
Hold that thought right there.
Scientists are just starting to get the concept.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Jerry Smith, and he has some very, very interesting thoughts on this whole idea of contrails and chemtrails. Now, a lot of people don't believe in chemtrails. All this is the rantings of people who believe in black helicopters and believe that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't shoot John Kennedy. And, of course, they ridicule and they ostracize anybody who talks about this issue. Well, of course, what Jerry has done, he says they're two separate things. One is a contrail, one is a chemtrail. The contrails, of course, are a byproduct of our jets flying through the sky. And the contrails themselves, actually, and these are condensation trails, certainly represent the jet fuels. They represent the condensation of certainly of moisture because the plane's traveling at such a high speed. But there's also certainly an impact, you know, of the jet fuels in the stratosphere. So you pick up the story. Let's talk about contrails. Let's talk about chemtrails. And the fact that they're not imaginary, they're real. So pick up the story.
Okay. I first heard the phrase chemtrail about 1995 when I was, oddly enough, working on the book Black Helicopters Over America, Strike Force for the New World Order by Jim Keith, in which I helped him write. And then in 1996, I was working on my book, HAARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, and I spent a lot of time in my backyard laying in a lounge chair, thinking about what I was going to write next and looking up. And in looking up, I saw that something seemed different. I grew up in Southern California, where the hot, dry air of Southern California produces contrails that last for just seconds. They're little streaks of color behind the plane, and they're gone. And then lying in my lawn chair looking up, These contrails lasted for hours. They were huge, big, giant, billowy things that blended together in the blue sky of morning became an opalescent white of late afternoon. And the TV news guy on the 5 o'clock news was saying, another lovely cloudless day. And I'm going, wait a minute, the sky is white. You don't have a lovely cloudless day and a white sky. Something is wrong here. So once I got into researching this book, I began to sort out what was going on. The U.S. Air Force insists that chemtrails are an internet hoax. That the theory of a chemtrail is that there is a deliberate spraying program that is intentionally releasing something into the atmosphere, which is creating these persistent contrails, which have been dubbed chemtrails. Now, I attempt in this book to only put in the book what I can prove. So there are about a dozen theories as to what these spraying programs might be about, who might be doing it, what they're doing. The one theory I can nail is a global warming mitigation theory. And this is very simple. The Earth reflects some sunlight back into space. If you've ever looked at the new moon, you know, you look up at the moon, there's just a tiny crescent of a moon you can see, and sometimes you can see this dark disk beside the brightly lit crescent. That dark disk is the rest of the moon in Earth's shadow, but you can see it because sunlight is reflecting off the Earth, off the moon, and back into your eyes. Now, the reflectivity of the Earth is called the Earth's albedo. And the scientists got this bright idea that if we were to increase the Earth's albedo, increase how reflective the Earth was, less solar energy would come in, and that would balance out the heat being trapped by the greenhouse gases. Several major scientific institutions, including Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, investigated mitigation schemes involving changing the Earth's albedo. And
wasn't this going to be done, though, by high-altitude spraying there so we could create this reflective shield?
Exactly, by injecting into the upper atmosphere reflective materials, particularly aluminum and barium salts. And a number of ideas were bounced around. One idea was you have Navy cannons firing millions of shells into the air to release the dust. Another plan was to have helium or hot air balloons go up and explode with canisters of dust. Another was to use tankers or commercial aircraft flying at altitude and releasing the dust either as a spray out of nozzles or as a substance mixed with the jet fuel. Now that sounds an awful lot like the chemtrail theory. Now, what I can prove is that Lawrence Livermore studied it for more than a decade.
Now, wasn't this one of Dr. Teller's dreams that he
Dr.
actually...
Edward Teller, exactly. Dr. Edward Teller, who many people think was the source for the character Dr. Strangelove in Stanley Kubrick's movie Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Dr. Teller was a member of the Manhattan Project who stormed out when Oppenheimer wouldn't give him a post he wanted and founded Lawrence Livermore. Or was one of the founders of Lawrence Livermore, and was associate director of Lawrence Livermore throughout his career, and he's the guy who gave us the hydrogen bomb. This guy is a very strange character. And he proposed, his team proposed, using aircraft flying at high altitude to inject aluminum and barium salts into the atmosphere so that it would increase the Earth's albedo so that we could go on burning fossil fuels and not have to worry about greenhouse gases.
But isn't this exactly what people who studied the chemtrails have found, that it actually is aluminum and, of course, barium? But they don't often want the American people or the people of the world to realize they're contaminating the stratosphere.
Oh, absolutely. The scientific bodies, and there have been numerous scientific bodies, not just in the U.S., but but UN-sponsored scientific bodies that have examined this, this mitigating global warming concept, and have said, you know what? The idea of putting aluminum and barium in the upper atmosphere is a darn good idea. This actually would work. It would cost a few hundred million to maybe a couple of billion a year. We could pull this thing off. This could actually do it. There's a problem. And the problem is there are so many legal and environmental hurdles to overcome. All of these scientific bodies said, well, this would work, but we can't do it because of these legal and environmental problems.
Why don't we just ignore them and then just lie about what we're doing?
Exactly. That was universally what the final recommendation was. We can't do it and tell anybody that we're doing it.
And so much of what's going on, Jerry, is, and this is what's so hard for the American people to believe, is they simply lie to us common folks because we're not as smart as they are. They have all the degrees. I mean, after all, they've been to college, and they've probably got Phi Beta Kappa Ks, and the elites sit around and talk to one another in a different language because they have a different set of values, because they're unconcerned about the potential harm to human beings, because they don't value human life as you and I would.
I think you've pretty much nailed it there. I don't have any substantial disagreements with that. Certainly there are those who are convinced that the Earth is dying, that if we don't change drastically in the next few decades, the Earth, the ruling elite are going to be wiped out, which means the rest of us also. And, you know, they're not so much concerned about us getting wiped out, but they are concerned about them getting wiped out. And so this may well be their last-ditch desperate effort to save the Earth in spite of us.
But, of course, the question is, if you create this greenhouse effect, you know, by spraying in the stratosphere, do you actually increase or decrease temperature? If you would think that, of course, the greenhouse effect might actually, you know, like it would in a greenhouse, actually prevent the heat from getting out so the heat can get in. It can't get out, so it gets hotter.
Exactly. A number of scientific organizations have studied this proposal and went, wait a minute, if you inject these salts, if you inject this stuff too low in the atmosphere, it will make it worse. It will, instead of mitigating global warming, it will exacerbate it. And I suggest very gently in the book, I don't dwell on this, but I put it out there, what if these guys are actually intentionally increasing global warming so as to give them a pretext to form a global bureaucracy around to save us to solve the problem of global warming?
In other words, they create the problem, and now, of course, we're going to have to give up our freedom, and the bureaucracy will take over in the name of protecting us from the global warming that's going to destroy us if we don't give up our freedom.
Exactly. And, of course, I further point out that the greenhouse gases theory is not universally accepted. And I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, if these guys really are intentionally making it hotter, thinking, well, we're doing it, therefore when we stop doing it, it will go away, and they get their global bureaucracy and they get their global government up and running, and they say, okay, turn it off, and they turn it off, and nothing happens because their theory is wrong and what's causing global warming is something else entirely.
Well, now, what about what happened when they stopped all planes flying or almost all planes flying over the United States after the September 11th attack?
That demonstrated very much, very heavily, very severe, good, solid scientific evidence that contrails, whether they be contrails or chemtrails is hard to say which, but definitely what's going on right now in the skies is bad for us. That during the 3 days of no fly, NASA Langley could take satellite photos of the half dozen planes that actually were allowed to fly and see these contrails that started off no wider than the wings of the plane and turn into cloud banks 60 miles wide by 800 miles long. This got the NASA Langley guys going, oh my gosh, look at that. I had no idea. Now there is a lot of scientific evidence on what's going on. And one of the things that was discovered during that 3 days of no-fly was that the difference between daytime and nighttime temperatures was much greater than what it is when the planes are flying. When the planes are flying, the cloud cover at night holds the heat in, and the cloud cover during the day reflects more solar energy out, so less heat gets in. So the days don't warm up quite as much, and the nights don't cool down quite as much. And this is affecting plant and animal species across the first world.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the trouble is that the average person finds it so difficult to believe that this could happen. I mean, there are certainly a number of people who have looked at the sky and have actually seen the planes not going from, you know, from San Francisco to Los Angeles, but going back and forth across the skies in places. We've had these reports from all over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Most people are actually, they don't want to believe this, so they never look at the sky, and they say, anybody who's looked at it, my goodness, how paranoid can you be? You honestly think they might be doing something that would be harmful to us?
Well, there are a lot of possibilities. As I said, there are at least a dozen theories as to what chemtrails are about, who's doing what and why. I nail one theory, which is the geoengineering theory. Geoengineering is the name given to these ideas of how to mitigate global warming by physically changing Earth systems. That's just one possibility of what's taking place. We also know that the military are involved in a lot of electromagnetic weapon systems. As Secretary of Defense Cohen said, as you quoted him at the beginning of the show, we have a lot of, this is the next major stage in weaponry. This is called an RMA, a revolution in military affairs. In the last 100 years, we have gone from weapons that targeted individuals, bullets, to weapons that targeted whole battlefields, poison gas in World War I, to weapons that targeted whole cities, atom bombs in World War II. Now we are on the stage of weapons that can target whole continents and whole ethnicities, as you quoted from Secretary Cohen. Biological and electromagnetic weapons, and this is where we're going. I mean, whether we like it or not, these are the toys the military are playing with, and there are incredible, vast, unintended, unexpected, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, consequences from playing with these toys.
And of course they have unlimited amounts of money, because anytime they want money they say, oh, we need more money for our troops, and if you don't give it, you don't support our troops over in Iraq. And most of this money, so much of it, is not going to fight the war in Iraq, is that they're really trying to fight the war over there and win. They're doing an awful poor job. But they use this money for all sorts of macabre experiments that can have a profound impact on life throughout the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of that war money is actually going to fight wars in boardrooms to win votes in corporations like KBR and Halliburton.
And, of course, another thing is, of course, you want to keep the war factories going. You want to keep the weapons factories going. And so you'll simply build weapons. We don't need those weapons at all, but it makes jobs in an area of the country where there's a congressman and you need his vote. So you give him, the companies there, $300 or $400 million to build unnecessary weapons, but you've got his vote.
Pork barrel is a tradition that goes back well before the founding of this republic.
Well, of course, what it does, it reflects the fact that we have people who do not believe in the Constitution. The purpose of our Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government. There was no power there for a standing army. Our founding fathers feared a standing army because they felt it would be used to dominate the world, just exactly as the British army and navy were used to dominate the world. And we were to have a militia that was to defend America, but not to dominate the world. Today we have troops in 130 nations. We have 15 a carrier task force that dominate the world. And only trouble is, we're running out of money. We're having to borrow $3 billion every single day. Yep. And, of course, the national debt is not, $281 billion for next year, as we've been told, but about $3.2 trillion. Anybody would like to see the figures are in World Net Daily this day. People need to understand that the history of the world is, of course, is great empires going bankrupt because of irresponsible politicians. They've forgotten those dictum from Cicero, who said the budget should be balanced. Foreign spending should be limited. The arrogance of the authorities should be tempered, and of course, private spending must be limited. Else, Rome will go bankrupt. And you know what they did to Cicero? They killed him. But Rome did go bankrupt, and of course, it moved from being a republic into a dictatorship. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Jerry Smith, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Jerry, you go ahead and wrap up the program.
Well, okay. I guess the best way to wrap up the program is to pitch my book.
Okay, you go right ahead.
Okay, the book is Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. It's brand new. It just hit the bookstores. Even as I speak, they've just hit in the last few days. Best for me is if you go to your local favorite bookstore and buy it from them. And this is because that will encourage that bookstore to shelve, to stock, and restock the book, and I'll get more sales down the road. Best for you, do you want it autographed or do you want it cheap? If you want it autographed, buy it from the publisher, Adventures Unlimited Press. I'm currently working at the world headquarters at Adventures Unlimited Press, and if you order it directly from us, either from the 1-800 line of 1-800-718-4514, that's 1-800-718-4514, or from our website, AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. When the order comes through, I'll see it, and I'll sign the book to you. Or if you want it cheap, you can get it at online booksellers at a discount. Amazon.com is selling it for 30% off. So you can get it practically anywhere, practically any way you want it.
All right. Are chemtrails and HARP related in any way? Somebody just called in and wanted to know.
There's a possibility. That's a very technical issue, and I do have an answer to it in the book. It's possible that some of the radio frequencies from HARP are being used in some ways with the chemtrails, and I can't get into it in the last minute we have left.
All right, but basically what they're doing is using the chemtrails to bounce them off. Would that be pretty well it?
Yes, either as bounce spots to control radio communications, or HARP may actually be using to energize the particles to hold them aloft longer.
And I think it's really so important that people understand that there is a great deal of scientific literature out there about this idea of dealing with global warming by this spraying. It's been going along. And, of course, there is an element of global warming, but how much of it is actually created by these various programs? And even more frightening, are they doing this to justify the Kyoto Protocol and other draconian measures which will destroy the economy of our nation and enslave our people? I think that's a question people really should be asking.
Absolutely. My book is essentially a book about global warming, so it doesn't sound like one from the title, because we have an education problem in America. After the U.S. signed the 1978 U.N. Treaty banning the development of the use of environmental modification technologies for hostile purposes.
Hold that thought there just a moment. Well, Jerry was just saying that after we signed the treaty banning of the use of weather warfare for hostile purposes, what were you going to say then?
The United States changed its tune. The United States government, prior to 1978, had been spending upwards of $20 million a year. In 1978, there was $28 million allocated by the federal government to developing environmental modification technologies, and there were 700 degreed scientists working on various programs. The next year, all gone, all vanished, didn't happen. And since that time, the United States government and the weather infrastructure. The mainstream weather associations all say, nah, that stuff works. It doesn't work. It's nonsense. It's the rainmakers of the 1890s. It's all horse pucky. And that's not true. It simply isn't true. I believe that what happened is that the programs went dark. They went covert because after the U.S. got caught with its fingers in the environmental modification cookie jar with the Vietnam War, with Agent Orange, Agent White, Operation Popeye, they realized they did not want to be seen violating the treaty again, but they are violating the treaty again.
I'm afraid they are. Jerry, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, and we'll talk again. I'll get you on my evening program real soon.
Okie dokie.
Thank you so much, and our guest has been Jerry Smith, and I hope you enjoyed him. And, of course, somebody had called in and asked if there's a relationship between chemtrails and HAARP. And Jerry says he thinks there is, because they would use this cover up in the stratosphere, and you can bounce these radio waves, these electromagnetic waves off of it. And, of course, they're doing exactly the same thing. They say, of course, you know, we've signed a treaty on bacteriological warfare. We're creating these terrible, new, horrible pathological diseases, which they're doing now, but they're all for defensive purposes. You can't have aggressive biological warfare, but you can have defensive biological warfare. That's all we're doing. If you doubt that they're creating horrible diseases designed to kill hundreds of millions of people, why, we'll be glad to send you the article out of the Washington Post. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. We will actually offer this book. It's called Weather Warfare, and you can call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. We also have the original book on HAARP, too. Angels Don't Play This HAARP. We have actually two four-tape sets on chemtrails. One we did several years ago, and a new one, updated last year, goes into all the scientific studies. And there are extensive scientific studies talking about how we'll use chemtrails and this haze in the sky to control global warming. It's probably actually doing exactly the opposite in increasing global warming. And then, because we have one four-tape set on HAARP, you need to understand what's really going on. And you're being lied to at every turn, because this aluminum up there is not good for you. Aluminum is very toxic. It increases Alzheimer's disease. But, of course, they're not really worried about the damage they're doing to human beings. If you're interested in knowing about the experiments they've done on humans, why, of course, we have something called the Rockefeller Committee Report. Came out of the Veterans Administration in 1994. And when I talked to the woman who wrote it, she was afraid to come on my program. We actually have another book called Vaccine A. It's about the massive experimental vaccines that they gave over in Vietnam using squalene in it. They denied that we would never use squalene. We would never put this in the vaccines. It's not approved, but they did it. And over 80,000 of the young men, of the 695,000 men we sent over there to fight during the first Gulf War, are presumed to be dead. We have the Veterans Administration figures. If you'd like them, we'll be glad to get them for you. We will document everything we say. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Again, the Rockefeller Committee report. We have certain reports on biological experiments on Americans. They're all available through Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927, or go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. You can only understand this when you understand there really are evil and wicked people out there, and sometimes they're working at the highest levels of our government today. So, ladies and gentlemen, pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. Iraqi Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi is calling on President Bush to set a timetable for removal of troops from Iraq. Correspondent Barry Schweid brings us the story.
Al-Hashimi, who met this week with President Bush, is not proposing an abrupt withdrawal. He says the U.S. should be flexible and not withdraw troops until Iraqi security forces are capable of coping with violence. But he says there should be a timetable. Al-Hashimi, at a Washington news conference, said his country is in chaos and major changes, including a new constitution, are needed. We have to start, he said, from scratch. Barry Schweid at the State Department.
Police are reporting the death of a Shiite Muslim sheikh after a drive-by shooting in Iraq.